And a humbled hello. My name is Andrew Goff of the Lost Coast Outpost.
And I'm Stephanie Gary, also of the Lost Coast Outpost.
I just want to acknowledge that as of this week, we are now 2 months into this shelter-in-place thing.
Yeah, I was just realizing that myself. It's hard to believe.
And normally we would be watching Kinetic Sculptures zoom by this weekend, but instead we're zooming with each other. Today on the show, I guess, we were able to corral Eureka City Council member Austin Allison, who has, among other things, been cultivating a new haircut. We'll talk to him a little bit about that. Austin, are you there?
Hey, what's good, people?
Yeah, so we want to welcome Austin Allison to the Zoom Dome. Austin has been a Eureka City Council member since 2017, and I wanted to throw a disclosure in here right off the top that Austin and I, we know each other well enough that for a long time, your Facebook profile picture was an image of you holding one of my baby goats.
Yes, Vladimir, a very nice goat. Known him since he was a baby.
Yeah.
It looks like he's a really good boy.
I
didn't know that.
I kind of like the idea of like every profile picture of me from now on should be me holding another animal.
Yeah. You had a good streak. It seems to me as a Eureka City Council member, you might get special zoo privileges. So maybe you could get a red panda profile pic.
You know, I've never took advantage of my council perks, but...
Yeah, just roll in there and start throwing around, do you know who I am?
I've always thought of that, just saying, do you know who I am? that's not me.
Well, do you think maybe you could start out a little bit just by telling us really quickly, like, how long have you lived in Humboldt and where were you before?
Sure. Let's see. When did I come to Humboldt full time? Maybe 2010. I have a bunch of family from here, though. I'm probably the third generation to live in Humboldt now. My mom was born here, and she went to school in Loma Linda, and then moved to Modesto to work as a physical therapist because that's where the work was at the time, and so. During the summers, we'd always come up to Humboldt to visit the beaches and my aunts and uncles and granny, and always had a great time. And when the time was right, I definitely moved up here full time because Humboldt's amazing. It's always felt like home to me. I don't really like the Central Valley too much.
I get it.
Well, obviously, you love it enough to run for the Eureka City Council and try to work for your community in that way.
Definitely. I really like... you know, I love and hate politics. It's kind of a love-hate thing, but it's a necessary part of society because it's what makes the world go round in the society we live in. So, during the Eureka City Council race, someone dropped out. I was happy to step in, and I was surprised I won, but I'm happy to be up there. It's, it has its ups and downs like everything. Pretty stressful, but also pretty gratifying at times as well. So I'm glad I've done it. And I have just a few months left of council before someone else gets to take the job.
That's right, because you did announce a while back that you weren't planning to run for re-election. Maybe you could tell us what factored into that decision.
Yeah, so first of all, I moved out of the ward that I was in Ward 4, and also, even if I did stay in that ward, I wouldn't probably have run again, just because it does take a lot of time. It's probably, 20 to 30 to 40 to 50 hours a week, depending what the heck is going on. And so I also work full time too, just like the rest of the council. So combined working 60 to 70 hours a week every week for the past, going on 4 years, that's a lot to take in for a person. And I've kind of had to make some sacrifices in my personal life with some things I want to do. So I'm happy to write the next chapter and still be a lover of this community and. Support whoever wants to do the job on the council.
Now we can talk about some of the things going on in Eureka near the end of this thing, but I think we're actually more interested in talking to you about the other hat that you wear that you mentioned, your day job. You are a monitor tech at St. Joseph Hospital. Is that how you, would say it, monitor tech?
Yeah, I guess the full name is like cardiac monitor tech for the progressive care unit, which is a step-down ICU unit. So it's a 40-bed unit, and all the patients there are prescribed 24/7 telemetry orders. So my job is to sort of be the patient lifeguard on that unit. So I'm looking at everyone's heart rhythms, all their vital signs, and I'm just trying to make sure that everyone stays swimming, to, you know, put it in the simplest way possible. And a lot of crazy stuff happens sometimes, you know. Yeah. We get sick people in there, and it's kind of cool to catch a lot of things before they even happen. You know, heart attacks, people starting to go into lethal arrhythmias because, you know, their electrolytes are out of whack or something like that. So it's really cool to be able to do the technical side of healthcare and really try and support the nursing staff on the floor, because, you know, they have four patients and can't be in all four places at once. So I think, you know, we really have a mutual respect in looking out for each other, and makes the teamwork work.
Yeah. Well, it had dawned on us that we haven't really heard a lot from people who are actually inside the hospital through this whole pandemic thing. I haven't seen a lot of local reporting on what the scene is like over there. I mean, we know various law enforcement agencies are bringing you guys pizza, but other than that, I just wanted to start out broadly with all your coworkers at the hospital. How's everyone doing?
I think overall we're rolling with the punches pretty well. The vibe, so to say, has been kind of different now that visitation isn't allowed. You know, elective surgeries are canceled. You know, because we're trying to create capacity for potential COVID patients coming in. The dynamic has changed there, but also it's still really busy at times, even though we might not have, you know, surgical patients. You know, we still can get really busy depending who comes through the ER and needs to be admitted as a patient. We turned one of the med-surg units, which is like, you know, where like people have total knees, hip replacements, things like that, into a respiratory care unit. So we're screening everyone who might have potential symptoms for COVID are sent to that unit to be tested and screened before they might get sent to another part of the hospital. So my role as monitor tech, I'm also watching those patients' heart rhythms and talking with the staff over there. But yeah, it's pretty interesting, pretty busy, but also I kind of hear right now, I got a memo from the hospital saying, you know, they're looking into potential voluntary furloughs for some staff members because financially, I guess the hospital isn't doing so well because of, you know, all these canceled surgeries and things like that. So they're trying to be creative in you know, their funding and staying afloat at this time. So, you know, it is busy in some regards. In other regards, things have slowed down.
You guys haven't had a crush of COVID patients. You could say that, right?
No, we haven't been overwhelmed just yet. Mm-hmm. I hear the peak might happen in June. I mean, we see that cases are starting to go up again. But yeah, so far we haven't been overwhelmed. But we have been steadily busy. You know, some nights we might have, you know, 10 rule-out patients on the respiratory care unit. You know, some check positive, some check negative and are sent to PCU or elsewhere because they're still sick. But yeah, it's been steady, but not crazy.
There has been a drop in the other in other patients at the hospital, and so a drop in business. And so you mentioned that the hospital is looking to maybe furlough some employees. Like what effect does that have on like just kind of the general morale of the hospital?
I haven't really asked too many coworkers of mine. I know some things are, you know, like for instance, we have an overtime pool, so to say, where that has been eliminated, where people could pick up extra shifts to work and get overtime. Now people are being called off from work or or people are asking for A days, which is like voluntary, not working, coming in, using PTO, stuff like that. But I guess there is a feeling of uncertainty in some regards where, you know, it's like, what does the future look like for healthcare here in Humboldt? You know, as we weather this storm of issues. But, you know, it's kind of ironic because, you know, we do have a shortage of healthcare here. There is an aging population that will need to be more medically treated as they get older. You know, everything under the sun happens to you when you get older, so they'll need help. And so it's kind of ironic in a way, but there's just some uncertainty right now, I'd say. It's probably the general mood there.
What about you personally? Have they said you are going to be furloughed?
They're asking for voluntary furloughs at this time. I got the email and the documents, and I've been thinking about it, but it's up to approval from my managers and leadership whether or not they'll need me. So that's something to consider. And yeah, they're asking for voluntary furlough where you only work every other week and exhaust your PTO or go unpaid, or to do full furlough where you can file for unemployment with the new COVID rules from the state of California. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of hemming and hawing about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think everyone is right now who's sort of gotten that offer.
Sure. When it comes to the to the care, you know, and talking about, you know, anticipating this bigger spike in cases maybe in June, do you guys feel pretty prepared for that at the hospital? Do you have all of the supplies that you need? I mean, we definitely, if you look at other reports from other places in the country, that's been a big issue for hospitals, is a shortage of supplies. How do you guys feel over there?
Good question. You know, I think the hospital has been restocked on PPE when there's that big shortage, you know, a few months ago. You know, it seems like we have most of the supplies, and you know, I can't forget about Redwood Acres, how the state has set up, you know, some overflow beds over there to help if there was a huge outbreak. But yeah, I have no idea what to expect. I don't think any of us do. And so I think that's why it's still so important to be socially distant and ensure that we try to flatten the curve and draw it out for as long as possible so we don't get overwhelmed.
Sure.
So when you talk to your coworkers, I mean, like you guys must talk about, you know, just like, wow, crazy. This is, we're in a pandemic. This is nuts. I mean, do people, What is their demeanor? Are people fearful? Do they think this is overblown, and we're overhyping this?
I think a lot of us are really tired of the conspiracy theorists or people downplaying, you know, what's really at stake here. You know, it's like everyone who works there is, you know, has some sort of degree, pretty much, where they understand the science, they understand epidemiology, they study this. They experience it firsthand. They've seen people critically ill and know what's at stake if we don't take it seriously. And I think we're just mostly frustrated by the people just who are trolling others or saying it's not such a big deal. And I kind of have theories to why some people are downplaying it or just trolling each other, but it's really sad. I mean, you know, just listen to people who went to school and understand diseases and illnesses, and you know, unless you have that experience professionally, maybe hold your opinions to yourself.
We know a little bit about that at the Lost Coast Outpost.
Yeah, I mean, your comments section are probably the epitome of conspiracy, or at least that's where I see the most of it locally.
You've spent some time in the Thunderdome, Austin.
I sure have, and yeah.
Why? What are you doing in there, Austin?
Yeah, get out of there. There.
So, yeah, I mean, you guys have to go trudge through there too, but yeah, it's just amazing, I have to say.
Yeah. Anything else in the hospital you think is important for people to know about that we didn't touch on?
You know, we're just going in there every day. You know, it's like before we go to work, we have to get our temperature screened. We have to wear a mask for full shift. So, you know, wearing a mask for 12 hours, it sucks. It really does. Your face gets hot and steamy, and and we're all looking forward to when we don't have to do that anymore, because I don't know if you ever worn a mask for almost 12 hours straight. It's not good. You know, I love that the community is appreciating us and the work that we do. I just don't also want us to be in a way martyred and say, you know, you getting ill is acceptable from, you know, COVID, or your death is acceptable. You know, it's like, I don't think any of us really signed up for work expecting to maybe die one day. We signed up just to help others.
Yeah, you don't want to be a hero, actually.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be a hero and trying to save your life, but you know, if you call it that. But yeah, we probably don't want to die. We all have families to return home to, and yeah, this is you know, a crazy time to be in, but we're doing our best.
Yeah. Well, I almost feel bad now about switching back to Eureka stuff, but I feel like we got to ask you about the recent Eureka news, which is, of course, the recently hired Eureka City Manager Dean Lauder resigning. And we know that you can't say much about it, but obviously it's something that people have been asking about. And so maybe you could just, I don't know, talk a little bit about your take on this situation.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were sort of the first ones to catch on, saying, you know, what's going on? Why so many meetings? What are you up to? And I really wish I could say something, you know, because speculation isn't helpful in this time. But, you know, it's a employee personnel thing, and most personnel things become confidential just because that's the nature of HR. And yeah, the community really wants to know what happens, but you know, it's like our hands are tied. You know, it's like I love the city of Eureka, and to the point that I love it so much I don't want to say anything, because that could expose us to liability and then cost the taxpayers even more money.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's fair.
Well, it's probably getting time, actually, for us to wrap things up, actually. And so Goff and I kind of wanted to cap things off by just asking you a series of quick questions just about your life, you know, while sheltering in place.
Let's do it.
All right, so what has been your best pandemic takeout experience?
Like ordering food?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd say I got a special spot in my heart for A Taste of BIM. They are just so delicious. It's almost a problem. I eat there probably once a week or something. If you haven't had their fish tacos, folks, please don't sleep on it. You will be amazed. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
It feels healthy too. Like it's not like a guilt, like, food item.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. You mentioned earlier it being frustrating to work at a hospital and see all of this misinformation going on, going around out there in the community. Where have you been getting your information?
Like for what, science stuff?
As it relates to the pandemic and news surrounding that.
So yeah, I listen to the state of California. I listen to our DHHS healthcare officer. I also been trying to read a lot. There's a lot of researchers contributing to the scientific field of COVID right now. I've been reading some of their research and stuff. There's a lot of information. But I always try and verify my sources and remove myself from bias. And I think that's something we all need to try and work on doing. You know, you can't read an internet meme with no sources that says something outrageous. You know, if I see that, I'm going to Google. I'm going to find that information and see if it's verifiable. But yeah, there's a lot of great resources, and they're coming from, I think the state of California is doing an excellent job.
What about just for fun? What do you do for entertainment these days while you're sheltering in place?
Working on the house, doing a lot of landscaping, growing a garden, put up a greenhouse, been exercising a lot lately, going out and walking around the Eureka neighborhoods. I probably walk 3 to 4 miles a day around the Eureka neighborhoods, and it's a great experience every time. I really like how almost every house is different in Eureka, and it really adds a lot of entertainment for me.
What is the most interesting house in your neighborhood?
In my neighborhood, I live near Henderson Center, and my favorite trip or street to walk on is Hillsdale. One of the most gorgeous Victorians or
classy street.
That's a good one. That's like the best. It's the known best street.
Yeah, I also like walking down G Street, past Wabash, heading towards the waterfront. There's a lot of cool Victorians on that street. So, exercise is actually really good for you, for your mind as well. Very good for fighting depression and just boosting your serotonin levels and making you a happier person. Get out there and try it. And it's really good for you. So can't say that enough, to find an excuse to walk every day.
All right, next question. What's up with your hair?
I'm working on my mullet right now.
Yeah, tell us about your quasi mullet, which I would argue. I argue first. Tell us about the hair, then I'll fight you.
Okay. So, everyone's hair is getting kind of shaggy since barbers have been MIA, and so I decided to take matters in my own hand, give myself a haircut.
Yeah.
But I want to try and raise some money for Food for People, just because a lot of people are hit hard right now, and food insecurity is a real issue for some. So I thought, hey, why not do a little fundraiser to give myself a bad haircut? Perhaps some say it's not bad enough. It needs to be worse. But I gave myself a sort of a mullet. Ended up raising $3,000, which I was totally blown away by. Thought I might just make some chump change. But glad I went to the right people. And I'm going to wear out a mullet for 6 months here. So, shaved short on both sides, and I'm working on growing it back so I can, do like a man bun, mullet, ponytail thing. Hopefully by the end of 6 months, it'll be down to my shoulders. So I can
then we might be in business.
Because right now I saw that, because you said you had set out on Facebook that you were going to shave your hair into a mullet, and I was like excited. I was like, all right, Joe Dirt, it's coming, here we go. And then I saw it and I was like, well, I don't know, it's almost more stylish than it was. I thought it's what I'm actually looking at is just the festival haircut that you've always actually wanted to give yourself and you were afraid to for some reason.
I mean, it could also be construed as like a European football player's haircut. It could be many things. I did research on mullets. There's a great Vice documentary about the mullet festival.
I know you do research. You're a big fan of research.
You did research on even this.
Yeah, yeah. And there were some hot contestants in the mullet festival who had a very similar haircut as mine, but it went down.
Okay. But I'm saying this. I'm saying this though. If you entered into the mullet festival, you would not win. It's not dramatic enough. I want a more dramatic mullet.
You know, most great things take time, and
great things.
So give me some time, Andrew.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that really what it really is a compliment, because everybody was just hoping it would look worse and you're actually like kind of pulling it off, and everybody was hoping it would be hilariously bad, and it's not bad looking enough on you to be hilarious. So
I mean, what can I say? I probably will mix it up. I hear the Coast Guard from Natalie Royal said they want to do a fundraiser to give me a high and tight. So before that happens, I might just, buzz cut the top and then leave it short on the, or long on the back, and really give that Joe Dirt style run for its money. But like I said, this is the first haircut I've ever given myself, and I did okay with bowl, kitchen scissors, and the, you know, one of the clipper things.
Well, I'm glad to hear that about Natalie. By the time this is all said and done, this community will have raised a lot of money off your head.
That, but yeah. So, you know, hey folks, if you feel like supporting any charities, I'd say Food for People is a really good one. Keeping people fed, or if you want to volunteer, there's all kinds of things to do around here. It feels good to give back, is what I'm trying to say.
And little message to the folks.
That's right. Well, yeah. Thank you, Austin, you know, for taking the time to chat with us about some real stuff and also about your hair. Just real quickly, what our last question, what is it that you missed the most?
COVID?
Yeah.
Okay. Or,
yeah, yes. it can't be your hair.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely testing positive for missing the homies. I miss my friend. I miss going out and doing stuff in public, and things are definitely different, and I hope we can return to normalcy one day, and that's probably the biggest thing I miss is just social interactions. I'm an introvert just as much as I am an extrovert, and it just feel a little bound right now, staying at home and just staying out of trouble.
Yeah. That is going to be the headline. Council member tests positive for missing the homies.
I love it. Let's roll with it.
Okay. It's a slight misleading. People are gonna.
Yeah. I mean, I hope people
just
watch.
Positive dot dot dot.
Yeah.
I hope people, watch the podcast before they comment on the headline. But you know how
no
that
chance.
Goes. Yeah. No chance.
Absolutely chance.
Absolutely not. Yeah, that's never gonna happen.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else you need to get out into the world, Austin?
Just stay safe. Try and stay busy, people. We'll get through this. Keep listening to the science experts. They went to school and spent their whole lives on this. Let's listen to them. This isn't a political thing. Even though people are trying to make it that, listen to science, stay safe. I love y'all. Even if some of you hate me, still love you and have a great day. Might I ask if you guys want to wrap up and say anything?
We just want to say that your hair looks good.
It looks great. It looks great, thanks. Austin. Yeah. And I just want to say thanks for taking the time.
Of course. Stay weird out there, Humboldt. That's what we're best known for.
That's right.
Thanks, Austin. Okay, that's that. I'd like to thank Austin Allison for taking time to sit in front of a computer with us. And thank you, all of you, for listening. If you did. If you didn't, you're not hearing this. So,
not thank you. Yeah.
Also, give yourself a mullet.
Exactly.
All right.
All right, Andrew.
Bye.